didn't want to do a show that was like a template format thing. And so Guys is a show that I have to like figure out.
Yeah.
What you have to look, you have to do a little bit of
research
be.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun because it's like I'm doing History Guys tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I have to figure out how to find History Guys.
You know, it's maybe slightly past this time in history, but it's also one of these podcasts that could make a very good like Urban Outfitters book.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. Like, really good. With all the research you're doing, you can kind of compile it together.
Yeah, I have like it's usually comments somewhere or message boards. Like if you go find up message boards of guys that are really into one specific thing, they're all psychos, every one of them. When I did the Softball Guys episode and I found those fucking guys, the softball message board that had like softball guys arguing with softball umpires, it was fucking like gold to me. I was so happy to see that. We can record. I'm ready.
Cool.
Oh, you're rolling. Hey, oh, this there is one of those. This is an LA type of podcast. It's West Coast Brian doing a little bit of that riffing that they do at the beginning of LA podcast. Jack knows. I got Jack Allison here.
What's happening?
Big LA podcast guy. He knows how to.
I'm one of the original LA podcast guys. I've certainly been podcasting here in LA for too long at this point.
This is for the Patreon this Friday. This is the West Coast Brian show. I'm just gonna sit here. It's gonna be more laid back vibe than the Jeff Dunham show. Do you have any Jeff Dunham stories, Jack, at all?
I haven't run into Jeff Dunham. You know, it really is a shame. You know, he didn't do UCB. He never dropped in at the Jam. maybe he'll be at the Clown Jam next door.
You know what's funny about this is Drew and Drew Spears and Jack were telling me that like clowning is big in LA.
Yeah.
And that's the first time
we managed in LA to shift to something more embarrassing than improv.
And it's the first time on this trip I've said, maybe I don't need to live in LA. Okay, there we go. Yeah. It's the first time I've said maybe I don't need to be in LA, because I'm going to tell you guys something. Clowning is not popular in Columbus, Ohio. I haven't seen any clowning shows yet. Now watch me go home. Because that's how culture is now anyway. It's like I've noticed here that like you guys have all the – we have all the same stuff. Except for the stuff is there's more of it here.
I do feel like I drove across America a couple years ago and I was like, wow, I'm going to get to see all of America. And then I was like, it's kind of just like Chipotle's and Rite Aid's everywhere.
Yeah.
Like you drive through, it's like slightly different construction of a Rite Aid. Maybe there's a special sandwich in this city, but it's all kind of homogenous at this point.
Well, me and Kate, we're as we drive, I'm like, the only thing I've seen here is the Chagachino, which I just tried on the stream. You can go twitch.tv/murderxbrian if you want to see me try Chagachino. It tastes like dog shit. It actually tastes like dirt.
It's the worst thing I've ever drank.
It's
a mushroom coffee, is that right?
Yeah, okay. That's what you guys are doing here in LA. It's Chagachino everywhere I go. And I'm not bullshitting. Every coffee shop you drive by is mainly advertising the Chagachino.
Wow.
Yeah.
The clowning of coffees.
Yeah. I can't believe people are clowning here. This is just... And also, you guys have a thing that people in Columbus that... Because, like, when you live in a city like Columbus, Ohio, there are a lot of people who think they're, like, L.A. or New Yorkers at heart that, like, have literally never been. I've talked about my opinions on L.A. before I had come here, was that, like, nah, I don't think I can... You know, I don't live that laid back. I'm not that laid back kind of lifestyle.
Don't you just walk around all day?
I know. That's the fucking thing. Is that once I came here, I was like, I am.
Yeah.
Because I've been to New York. I had been to New York first, and I was like, wouldn't live here. Never. Not even. No desire. I'm not going to live somewhere that's more of a pain in the ass than my hometown, but also costs a lot more money and has winter. If I move, it's somewhere that doesn't have winter.
Yeah.
That is. But, yeah. And so I would tell people all the time when I was a kid, teenager and in my 20s, like, yeah, I don't think I could ever live in LA because I basically believe that everybody here was Anthony Kiedis. Like, that was the thing that I, like, just overlaid. It's like, it's just a bunch of guys without shirts on. Yeah. You
shirtless,
know.
Tattooed, long-haired men walking around.
And there are a lot of those weird
I think
people.
We have a higher per capita amount, but I think a lot of the men wear shirts here. I wear a shirt.
Yeah.
I'm a shirt-wearing guy.
The trends here are it's so funny, but the thing I was telling you actually was the people that think they're like big city people at heart that live in Columbus would go to a brunch place, and they would see all the corny stuff on the wall, the like, you know, wake up, you know, with a rooster that stands for cock or something like that. You know what I mean? And the first day we were here, we went to brunch at a place that had all of the corniest stuff you've ever seen. And like the bitch don't break my vibe. Milkshake. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
So it is all roughly the same now, which is sad. And I think that's Instagram, right?
I was going to say, I think it's the internet, like, flattening everything out. I think there is no local culture. Like, you go anywhere and it's kind of the same stuff. And so why not pay more for an apartment and live here?
Yeah. It is weird. It is like every city is down to like a couple of like defining characteristics that are usually negative. Like LA is traffic. Oh, there's traffic.
Oh, and it's yes. Like, man. The traffic, of course.
Okay, look. There's traffic in Chicago too at midnight. I've been caught in midnight traffic in Chicago. I've been caught in midnight traffic in New York. I've been caught in midnight traffic in Columbus in the past. So like the traffic here isn't even like. It does suck when you open up Waze and it says it's going to take an hour to go 5 miles. But
yeah, I mean, LA is a weird place because it's like the size of a state, you know, like especially so coming from the East Coast. Like whenever I spend time on the East Coast and you're in like Jersey, they're like, let's go over to like Pennsylvania. And I'm like, you can just like go to another state. Like, you can, like, in a day on the East Coast, you cross. They made them smaller back then, you know? Like, when they were doing the colonies, like, they kind of made the states city-sized. But out here, like, you know, people talk about traffic, but I'm like, yeah, but you are going the distance from, like, New York to Pennsylvania when you're going to Santa Monica.
That's true.
Nobody fact-checked that. I don't know if that's accurate.
No, fact-check
that,
please.
But it feels that way, vibes-wise.
Actually, just can you comment on if that's actually true on this post, and also hit me on Twitter, and if I don't respond, DM me. Okay, and if I don't respond there,
you want to drop an email address?
Yeah, you can drop. I don't have one.
Oh, good.
I actually do have an email address that I go to and check. Like, I go to, if I am expecting email, I go to the search bar and type the name of the person. I have like 5,000 emails in there.
Yeah, good for you.
And then like over 60 text messages, or over 300. I don't know why I said 60. It's like when I hit the phone here, I have, because people see my desktop and they freak out. I once, when we were doing live shows, we had access to a projector. We hooked my computer up to it, and I didn't have what was supposed to be on the screen ready.
Sure.
So it's just my desktop.
Yeah.
And the second it showed up on screen, everybody gasped and freaked out.
The red
out.
Badges everywhere.
Oh, you gotta see it here. You can come over here and see it. It'll
wow.
So it's based. There's episodes of Street Fight on here. There are episodes of Street Fight on the desktop of my laptop.
I will say that I think I have seen worse. Like, it is a lot on the desktop, and I keep a cleaner desktop than that. But you're at least not at the part where the icons are like overlapping each other, which is what I've seen really crazy people have done. Is like, you can fill it up.
You just save stuff on there. You know, you save stuff at the desktop.
Man. I'm a documents man myself.
That would be smart. I would love to do that. My computer.
What do you put in there? You put your documents. That's what the folder's for.
The computer. Yeah, but what's that folder doing? I always have to go. I don't know why I keep any of this shit. I'm never gonna need it. I'm never gonna need an episode of Street Fight from like April last year. I'm never, ever, ever. Unless I said something nasty on it, and then somebody, but that's.
I mean, you might need to, find out if you need to remove it or
find
something like that.
Find out if
like
there's
that.
Some cancel culture stuff going on the old Street Fight feed. I don't think, because that's the thing we've been talking about a lot on the Patreon here. We just did, Well, I just did Seth MacFarlane podcast, basically, where it was sort of a deep dive into Seth MacFarlane, but by way of watching the movie Ted and Ted 2 a half hour at a time.
Are you going to be watching the Ted TV series that's coming out?
I think I have to now. I don't know why I did that. Like, I was like, I could have just done a show about Seth MacFarlane, but instead I was like, let's watch Ted and Ted 2 a half hour at a time with a different person. Watching a different half hour.
Well, you're in luck. There's a lot more half hours of Ted on the horizon.
I don't think it's going to make it out. I just feel like a lot
of
this
stuff, this fucking shit comes out. They just shovel it out. Like, all these Peacock shows, you may not think they come out because, like, you never see any of it because it's on an application called Peacock.
Yeah.
But it all does come out.
I'm a Peacock head. I'm going to tell you the truth. All my favorite shows on Peacock for some reason. Yeah.
I mean, I liked Paul T. Goldman on Peacock.
I like that. Yeah. I like Columbo.
Yeah.
I like Monk.
I know you're a Monkhead. You know they're making a Monk. They're making a Monk movie for Peacock.
That's why I'm watching three episodes a night so I can get over when the Monk.
It's
movie.
Like Mr. Monk's final case or something
I'm
like
so
that.
So excited! Oh my God!
It's all back.
Hopefully he solves his wife's murder or. Please don't DM me or anything and tell me he solves his wife's murder in the Monk.
This don't TV DM show. About. DM yeah. about the distance to Santa Monica.
No Monk spoilers.
No Monk.
Please. Okay. I don't know if there's that many people that have seen all the Monks. I'm going to have to guess.
I don't know if Tony Shalhoub has seen all the Monks. I really don't know.
I like Poker Face fucked me up, I think. That thing came out and I was like, I only want to watch TV shows where people solve things. Now, and
are you watching,
I think
there's people I haven't watched it yet, but people say the Perry Mason show.
I like
the,
it.
You like
I
the
watch
Perry
it,
Mason?
But it here's the thing about Perry Mason that's different from Monk and all that stuff. I think I've finally broken myself of the every show needs to be serialized thing.
Yeah, yeah, I actually kind of agree with that. I like a little one-off. I like yeah. That's what I liked about I watched a lot of Star Trek. I watched all of Star Trek the last couple of years, and that is really appealing is that they're all just sort of little individual sci-fi stories. I'm watching Babylon 5 now, and don't get me wrong, it's truly great, but its big contribution is that it is like one of the first serialized shows, and there's a part of me that's like I kind of miss the one and done.
I know,
the beginning, middle, and end.
It's funny because on Poker Face, the first episode is about like a setup to get her out on the road solving crimes. So she's basically solving crimes for, I think it was 12 episodes, 10 of them she's solving crimes. But the first one and the last one
are like a little
tie together the season. So that, and I was like, the worst episodes of this show were the first and the last episode. All the rest of them were great. And then started watching Columbo and I was like, oh, it's not even the same guy, basically. It's just a different Columbo. And then like Monk is the same thing. It's like there is this thing of like Monk would like to solve his wife's murder. But it doesn't come up.
That's on the back burner.
Yeah, it's on
the
back burner.
It's going
to happen over
mysteries.
Five seasons.
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe it is just time to...
I think people, that's why people like all the Law and Orders, too, is like, I think people do like, and TV makers kind of forgot that people are like, I'd like to have a complete story in 1 hour. You know, like, it might be more appealing on the creative side to tell this, like, grand 80-hour-long story, but... I do think for most people, they're like, I'd like something I can watch while vacuuming and like still have a satisfying ending.
Well, that was Quibi was kind of that for a period of time. And people were talking about, you're just in line picking up your dry cleaner and catch a quick bite.
Now, I think a quick bite might be too short of a discrete unit.
I've been saying this. Here's something I've been saying since I started podcasting. And this is maybe coming from a long-winded idiot. But like... When somebody says, I have a podcast and it's 15 minutes, I will never listen to that show.
I mean, I think the hour, the 1 hour,
yeah,
pretty good chunk of time.
Hour
you know?
15 was always my...
Yeah.
But that is fucking guy that grew up listening to radio like fucking crazy.
Well, I mean, like, you know, Stern does like... He'll do like these 4 hour chunks and a lot of it is kind of nothing... Bunch of nothing.
Oh man,
Rogan. I'm like people like want listen to Rogan every day. There are people that are Rogan guys. I'm sure that you will or have talked about them on the show.
Sure I will, yeah.
And I'm like people are listening to 5 hours of this man. Like every. I'm also like why are you even working this hard, Joe Rogan? Like, why
Nobody
do you talk for fucking 5 hours? Like, just take the money and do 1 hour. But
the show I listened to, I listened to a show called The Lapsed Fan, which is a wrestling podcast. And every week it comes out. Sometimes they take a couple weeks. Like, they took a couple weeks off because WrestleMania was, like, last week. And I guess they were out here and they couldn't record.
They're spent.
Yeah, but their episodes come out on Wednesday. And it comes in two parts. Each part 3 to 4 hours
Good
long.
God.
And I listen to every fucking minute of the show. And I love it.
Lawrence of Arabia every week.
Yeah, I just don't know. I just want to be able to, like, hang out and, like, listen to something and not have to try to find something else because I'm lazy, I guess. I just don't want to go looking to see what else there is out there. But I think Rogan, I've listened to episodes because of, like, when Anthony Cumia is on him or something, I have to listen to him. And, like, a lot of his show is, let me show you this video.
Yeah.
Hey, have you seen this video?
I mean, he's doing, like, Twitch. He's just not doing it on Twitch. You know, he, like, gets comedians to come on and then watches YouTubes.
Yeah. Spotify is the worst. Like, that their podcasts make me fucking nuts because I, like, sometimes – okay. So when I go see one of these new movies in the theater, these comic book movies or any of that stuff, and I don't know anything about the comic books, sometimes I'll listen to the Ringer podcast reviews of the comic book movies.
God.
And I am, like, truly shocked that they never dislike any of it, ever. Not even a single thing. Sometimes they'll be like,
is it Ringer, like, owned by Disney or something? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but, like, I do know that Simmons, like, came out of Kimmel, and, like, it's like everybody's kind of palsy wowsy, you know, around there.
Yeah. I'm
better
I'm,
to like things, then you can get guests to come on the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you hate everything, you'll never. Spotify owns the Ringer. So, yeah, Spotify owns the Ringer. And I'll listen, and I'm just like, I know that I had heard that thing about if you give a bad review of a Disney thing before it comes out, that you might not be able to see the preview the next time that it comes out, so you kind of have to be nice about it. But I honestly believe that these people that do these Ringer shows really do just like everything. I don't know how it happens. I know.
I also think the people that listen to the Ringer shows just like everything.
I know.
I think that there are people that are just uncritical. It used to bother me, but it really doesn't anymore. I'm like, in some ways, I'm like, I wish I could, like, have hummingbird brain and just be like, that's cool. Like, that was really cool. And dude, I remember the stuff from the last one, and this one, like, continues the story of the last one. That's cool.
Dude, when I talk to my brother about what he watches, and, like, I'll tell this quick story because it's one of the craziest things anybody's ever said to me. So I went and saw Wakanda Forever when it came out. By the way, did not look up the runtime until I was at the theater after I had bought the ticket.
How long is that one?
I think longer than 3 hours.
Jesus.
And there were 2 45-minute funerals in it. Like, can you fucking even imagine, like,
a full feature length set of funerals within the movie?
Who the fuck is looking for that in a comic book movie? It's crazy. I am going fucking, I feel like I'm the craziest fucking person in the world because I don't want everything to be about somebody's trauma. Like, one or two things could be not about somebody dealing with trauma. Every fucking time a new TV show comes out, it's like he lost his wife and now he's dealing with the Jason Segel thing on Apple TV Plus comes out and everybody's like, it's a very funny show, him and Harrison Ford. You read all the reviews, this show's very funny, and then I read the description and it's like, after losing his wife,
I feel like that's actually what elevated horror means, is that it's just horror that's, like, secretly about trauma.
Yeah, everything is just about, like, somebody having some traumatic event, and then you have to live through that through Ant-Man. Like, I have to watch Ant-Man deal with his trauma. Or actually,
I like that Ant-Man's daughter went to like the homeless encampment protests or whatever.
Funny.
That was so funny to me.
That was
she like got
good.
Arrested by the police. Or I'm like, what is goes on in Ant-Man? So like, you guys work with the Pentagon on these movies, but Ant-Man's daughter like, you know, protested at Echo Park or whatever.
Yeah, she was. She did. That was funny. But there was a lot of funny shit. The Ant-Man's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I mean, I have to agree, and like I actually felt when I was watching Ant-Man that it feels like they used the same effects from that movie Strange World. You know, the animated movie that came
out.
Cool
World.
I mean Strange World, okay. But Cool World is good too. But that animated movie that like nobody went and saw, I was like, did they just like throw like these comps over like the Strange World backdrop?
Oh, I haven't seen. Oh, wow. Yeah, it looks so bad, right?
Yeah, it looks like shit.
Thor, they did the fucking same thing with the Thor. They did all green screen with the Thor. Thor was in like a different fucking world.
And not to belabor it, but it's like we are in, you know, Way of Water. We're in post Way of Water world now, and we know what special effects like can look like, you know.
I didn't see that, but I will say this. My sincere hope is that Top Gun Maverick changes things.
I do think that they're part of the appeal of Top Gun is like they went up in planes, and I think that people do notice that, you know. I think even if you look back at the old Marvel movies, like if you look back even at Iron Man 1, it's not movies even that I like very much.
I know.
They are not as like completely made in the computer.
It's
you know,
crazy.
Like they would get a shot, they would go up in a helicopter and shoot like a sky, and then they'd put him over it, you know.
Yeah.
Like these new ones really are animated movies that they get like they get actors on green screen and put them into an animated movie. Ant-Man especially, I was like, there's actually like only three scenes in this movie that are in the real world.
It's
we're in a coffee
noticeable.
Shop, we're in his basement, we're on the street. And that's all they shot in the real world. The rest is all on green screen.
And it's so noticeable. And like my brother is not like a super critical guy. So Wakanda Forever is 2 hours, 41 minutes.
Oh, you were going to tell about your brother and Wakanda
Forever.
So
Wakanda Forever is 2 hours, 41 minutes. And he did watch it, fast forwarded through both of the funerals. And I was like, I wish I could watch fucking TV like that or a movie like that. I can't do that.
Yeah, I do have a little bit too – I'm a little too compulsive. To. Like,
yeah.
And that's why I have, like, decided to just not watch any of this shit because I know I would have to watch the full funerals. But that's a better way to interact with media. It really is.
Yeah, the fucking goddamn movie opens with Chadwick Boseman's funeral, and then his mom fucking gets killed, and you watch his mom's funeral. It's like, what the fuck are we doing here? This movie's 2 hours and 41 fucking minutes. How long do I have to watch funerals for? It's crazy to make a movie that you're supposed to fucking take your kids to go see have two long funerals. Like, I was watching it, I was like, nobody wants this.
I do think that the Marvels are getting to like almost the comic book point where it's like I think that they will remain popular, but they're going to be more of like a thing for fans. I don't know that you ever get a Marvel, you know, to be the number one movie ever again, like Avengers was. You know?
And working toward like seeing like maybe the extended universe thing die in the next 10 years maybe.
Yeah.
Like we're not everything because like
we were talking about this, I think even on Struggle Session, we were like, you know, even John Wick, I'm like, just make another movie with all the same actors and the same director. Like it doesn't need to be called John Wick. Make a movie where Keanu Reeves's daughter is kidnapped and he can go get her. Like it doesn't all have to be these extended universes and continuing plot lines and
but
everything.
The problem is like Liam Neeson was doing that.
I know.
Basically, for when people just stopped going. People were just like, nah.
I mean, that's like, you know, I guess that'll end up be what happens with John Wick if they keep doing them, but whatever.
I hope John Wick ends up being like, I hope it ends up being successful. I am looking at the latest movies to come out, and since it is West Coast Brian, we can look into a few.
You want to do some flick talk?
Did you see? Okay, so I've seen a lot of these movies.
Uh huh.
Dungeons and Dragons.
I didn't see Dungeons and Dragons. Have you seen it? People keep saying I've heard two things about it, which are like people say like it's better than you think it is,
it
and
is.
Also it has kind of Marvel style quippiness.
It
and
does.
I'm like, Well, these don't necessarily like mesh.
Yeah,
in my
it
mind.
Does have the like, did that just happen? stuff in it, but it also ended up being good.
Yeah,
I think Chris Pine is kind of what charming. Katie loves
him. I kind of agree.
Yeah,
it's like I don't like those Star Trek movies with Chris Pine, but I do kind of like Chris Pine in them.
I know.
He's
great.
I do find him kind of charming as a guy.
So the other one is Air, which I find to be, I call it the shoe movie, which it feels to me like this is the direction we're headed in, because I was actually reading something about the Flamin' Hot Cheetos movie coming
So here's what I think that is that it's all IP. It all has to be existing intellectual property. And so when you get to something like Tetris or Nike or Flamin' Hot Cheetos, you're like, well, we can't really make a narrative out of the Flaming Hot Cheeto. So what about the creation of the Flaming Hot Cheeto? Like, it's all kind of an outgrowth of, like, you know, that everything needs to be an already existing property, and that's kind of the only way to come at certain things.
How fucking fun is it going to be if they start crossing over, though, you know? Like, maybe the guy that invented the Flaming Hot Cheeto just shows up in the shoe movie part two with
yeah, they're building an Avengers, you know? Like, I'm putting together a team. Like, we're called the Entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is Drew. I think, like, all those, like, business-making-thing movies is because executives can relate to the characters who... Because, like, you get this with commercials. I don't know if you ever, when you were at Funny or Die or anything like that, like, kind of was on the commercial side, but, like, I would audition for commercials where they would... The whole pitch was, like... The commercial is about making commercial.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's a casting session or it's pitch meeting.
Oh, it's something that they relate to,
yeah,
for
I
sure.
Think that's why like get BlackBerry and all that shit.
Yeah. And I also think that, you know, you're right. And it's also books that all these people have been made to read because their boss is like, you got to read the story of ESPN. Like, we're going to do that here with our stupid ass video website. Like, they're familiar with all these stories. But I do think that in another world, and maybe we will eventually, we would also see just a story of a Cheeto becoming spicy. Like,
this is so exciting.
And maybe and it's also a double way to exploit. Like, you could also make a movie about the making of Super Mario.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that would also be something that people could easily make.
They did that with The Room.
And with Tetris.
Yeah. Well, Tetris is funny because, like, I haven't watched it yet, but it got really good reviews. But
I don't believe this fucking shit. But anyway,
it's crazy. We're living in a world where, like,
nothing gets below like
Tetris.
I guess some things
movie.
Get some low ratings. Right. I made it. Like, I was recently. I like joked. I was like, they're gonna make a Pop-Tarts movie, and someone was like, they are.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, okie dokie then. Like,
Jerry Seinfeld's making it. It's so funny to make movies about products. There was a time where I was less hip to what was going on. We're looking at, like, probably 2009 or something like that, and I had been reading, like, upcomingmovies.com or something, and I heard there was going to be, like, a Hasbro extended universe, and I was fucking losing my mind excited because I just loved Hasbro shit when I was a kid. I wanted G.I. Joe. I wanted a whole G.I. Joe thing to go on, which, by the way, was
there
very...
There were a couple, right?
Yeah, I was very surprised last year when they made the Snake Eyes one.
Uh-huh.
I was like, really? Like, the last one, which I liked, it had The Rock and Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
I was like, really? They're going to... But the new one sucked. The Snake Eyes one was fucking terrible. But I thought we were going to get, like, I still, inside me, understand people's need to, like, have things that they watched as a kid made into a movie.
I've been thinking about this lately, and there's this concept that I was trying to read about. I'm like doing a little bit of research on this, called the child consumer. And so it is like from the 70s onward, they developed the child consumer. The amount of like spendable income by children has gone up by a huge amount. Children also influence their parents, you know, buying decisions and stuff. And so I've been wondering, I'm like, does this wave of nostalgia, does the Barbie movie and G.I. Joe, like, does this correlate with the child consumer? Like, is this because these are the first grooves that were ever made in our brain, was to love G.I. Joe and to love Barbie?
That I think that. Like, I do, because I know that they're making a Masters of the Universe movie.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, that movie's going to fucking suck. But I played with Masters of the Universe toys, so when it comes out, I'm going to probably see it.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going to fucking see it. I love He-Man.
I was going to say, like, it's funny to me that even like maybe 30 years ago, it was so embarrassing to do a commercial that celebrities would have to go to Japan to do a commercial. And now it's like Jerry Seinfeld's like, I want to make the Pop-Tarts movie.
Yeah. It is weird, too, because it's like, what a fucking branding opportunity. Like, your movies are, the movies are all now like, it's a branding opportunity. Yeah. And I don't even know what I'm looking for. Because I'm not looking for art house movies or anything. I'm generally,
I like a little of them, but I also like, you know, something like Independence Day. Yes. I'm like, that is almost like, you know, that's like an original movie. You know what I mean? Like, that is what we used to get. We're like original blockbuster popcorn movies. And now you're right. It is like all, you know, it's like Chris Pratt being Mario is as much as about him being in this movie as it is like building a relationship with Mario that moves into the future.
Yeah. And I'm looking like at what is like coming, and it's like that movie 65 came out, right?
Yes.
And nobody fucking saw that.
When movie. I was thinking about that movie and I saw the trailers, I'm like, so I guess that the Jurassic Park dinosaurs are just sort of like the boilerplate dinosaurs now. Like, dinosaurs, like, could have feathers and shit, but I'm like, but we're just doing, it's just the Velociraptors. It's the same ones from those movies.
Makes it easy, though, yeah, for us to understand.
We recognize and love those Velociraptors. I'm almost like, do they have to pay a royalty for Velociraptors to be in that?
It just is like, you watch these movies come out and you're like, well, I hope that really does good. Like with Top Gun, I remember being like, I hope it does good, because
I mean, it's such a funny thing to root for these blockbuster movies too. Like, I'm like, please let the sequel to Top Gun be the sequel that is good this year, that makes a lot of money. Let Avatar do well, please, God.
Because of practical effects, we're all fucking begging for practical effects. And I even think, like, most regular moviegoers are begging for practical effects, but don't know. They kind of don't know what it means. They don't know what squibs are. They don't understand, like, how the reason when somebody gets shot and the CGI blood comes out, there's
no
sort of...
not as satisfying.
Yeah, it's not...
You know, I was thinking lately about, like, when you look at old movies, there's always a bunch of cool stories about how they pulled off shots. It's like, oh, this part's a miniature. The part in front is, like, they're shooting through glass. And, like, new movies, the story is always, they did it in a computer.
A bunch of really overworked non-union, like, people.
800 guys in India did it on a computer.
Because, like, I remember, like, in the first few minutes of Top Gun Maverick, you see the fucking thing taking off of a fucking aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
And, like, it's like, why can't we get a movie like this that isn't like military propaganda?
Yeah, and but you know, honestly, if you are going to be like getting the production budget from the Pentagon or whatever, like, at least do go shoot real shit. You know what I mean? Like, I of course get and agree with the Top Gun is propaganda, but at the same time, like, at least it's good propaganda.
Yeah.
So much is propaganda. At least this one's pretty good.
I think it's one of the funniest propaganda movies I think I've seen, because of the it's not a country.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a capitalist fucking movie. There's I think, like, when I saw it and he was like, yeah, it's just another bad country.
Yeah,
like they did, and they have
feels
Russian
like they could
MiGs.
They could dub in other countries.
I
they
know.
Could dub in other countries as we go to war with people, like the you know, the Ukraine edition or something. Like,
it just is so, it was so cynical that, like, that kind of stuff really speaks to me. I've said this a lot about, like, sort of my taste in, or something I liked about cartoons when I was a kid, is that, like, when I was a kid, cartoons were made by guys, like, chomping on big cigars and saying, just make something I can make a toy out of or something. You know what I mean? And then at some point, they just decided, like, these things have to have meaning or be educational. And I like cynicism. I love the cynicism of, like, can we get people buying hot Cheetos if we tell them how they're made? That shit excites me for some reason. It's I think the same thing I like about, like, pro wrestling, obviously, but to a much bigger extent, it's like carny culture.
Uh-huh.
Like, I love that shit.
Yeah.
Because it is just like, you want this? Here it is.
I mean, there is something annoying kind of about like, no, this is like a moral thing. Yep. Like, I'm like, no, this is a fucking Marvel movie. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's a Marvel movie and you're trying to act like it's political action or something like that. So yeah. I kind of do find it appealing just stripping all it away and just, you know, this is entertainment just to be entertainment. And we're not patting ourselves on the back and acting like it's, I don't know, like a nonprofit or something like that.
It feels like something had to happen over the past, like, maybe 20 years where kind of with people branding themselves in a way that the people that run the studios now are also kind of a brand more than they are like an executive. So it's like fucking Bob Iger needs to look like he's woke.
Needs to be the president. I think it's also like a thing that they know gets them earned media. You know what I mean? I think that they're like, this is part of the PR rollout because people will write about this for free if we include this element, you know? And, you know, and they'll say how good we are.
And people will post about it and say like, wow, this is... Because when you see people posting about... And I don't see this in people that I, like, respect or that I read or care about, but you do see, like, that thing that kind of happened with the election of 2016 and 2020, where it's like, if you say something bad about this movie, then you're privileged and you're not like...
I do think, you know, it's like there is this... That's another element of it, too, is that like you can make shitty movies and then when they come out and people say they're shitty, you can be like, well, that's because they're sexist. You know what I mean? And there is some, obviously, sexism, and there are people out there that don't want to see people of other races in movies. But for the most part, I think that it is a way for them to be like, to discount all criticism as being like, that's toxic Trump guys that I'll don't like Star Wars.
Dude, Jack, the craziest fucking thing is that, like, I would not... I was vehemently opposed to watching the movie Bros because I didn't like the way they
were. Attitude around
it. The way of it, like, you people didn't just see it because you hate gay people.
Yeah.
But my wife wanted to watch it. I finally ended up watching it. I fucking loved it. That was so fucking funny. It was
I mean, that is the thing. I didn't see the movie, but I did also hear that it was good, actually. Yeah. I did hear it was good. I do think that, like, trying to make it into a social movement thing as opposed to, like, this is a very funny comedy kind of does it a disservice.
It did.
You know what I mean? I think it made turned some people off and, like, I don't know.
It turned me off.
It's not worth it.
I was actually turned off by it just because it was, like, I mean, first of all, people aren't seeing movies that aren't part of some universe.
Hey, yeah, and also, by the way, people aren't seeing comedies, period. Yes. Like, people aren't seeing comedies. Like, it is funny to be like, people didn't see it because they're homophobic. And I'm like, well, what about Neighbors too? And what about, like, every comedy that's come out?
I know.
You know? What about The Bubble, you know?
It's funny because I'm scrolling through the movies that are out now, and I'm not even seeing very many
comedies.
No,
I don't think there's – are there any comedies?
Well, and Netflix has that show Beef, which is sort of sold like a comedy but gets insanely serious at times, like where you're like, oh, I don't know.
I think the comedies are also franchise stuff. Like, the upcoming comedy is like Barbie. Barbie's the big tentpole comedy of the year.
It's tough because I'm sure there are things that I don't see any. Freaks of versus the Reich – it's like a lot of, you know, those, Guardians of the Galaxy. That's
another
comedy.
That's another big tentpole comedy.
But did you see, because I said this to Kate, I didn't know this until I got to L.A., because one of the buildings downtown is just a massive fucking advertisement for Guardians of the Galaxy. Which, by the way, if there's one city in America where everybody knows what TV shows and movies are coming out.
Yeah.
It's Los Angeles.
You know, I swear, I think I've heard this as a rumor, but I also just think it, that I'm like, they buy all these extra posters because the people that, like, are executives want to think it's advertised everywhere. And so when they're driving to work, they're like, oh, a lot of people know about Beef. And it's like, it's not maybe a, there's not a Beef poster maybe anywhere in the rest of the country.
There's not. I keep saying they should be buying the posters in Ohio.
No, it's for the guys to feel good about the thing that they are putting out. Yeah. It's so funny. It's very funny.
That is so egomaniacal that I love it. It almost makes me like
them. I think it's not even the guys themselves demanding it. I think it's like underlings that are like, it'll look good for us since we know what his route is coming to work if it's all beef posters like Burma Shave or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't get why they do it here instead of there. But so I'm driving by the theater and it's got the big Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Is this
thing.
The big LED one they have down there? Yeah.
I get the log line for the movie and I swear to you on my life, it turned me off immediately. It said one more time with feeling.
Good
I was like,
Lord.
God fucking damn it. Feelings again? Why are all these movies
Star-Lord has his trauma too. You know, don't deny Star-Lord's lived experience.
Would do anything for somebody without trauma. I just do anything for a movie where a guy's like, I don't know. I don't have any trauma. I'm actually pretty, like, Liar Liar was a movie about some, like, a guy going through some shit, but we didn't have to sit there and hear him be like, and he was a liar and he hurt a lot of people.
My father lied and that hurt me, and that's why I'm a liar.
We used to just go see fucking movies where, like, the comedies had nothing to do, and it is like, you watch the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy and you're like, oh my god, they're gonna try to make you cry at a movie with a fucking raccoon and a guy named Star-Lord in it. I'm gonna supposed to sit down in this theater and I'm gonna go see it because I go see them all. As we've said,
you missed any of the Marvels?
No.
Wow. Not a one. Not a one.
I can't. If they would have released one in the theater during the first year of COVID,
you wouldn't have done
it. I wouldn't have.
Yeah, but they didn't. They put everything.
They
on
put
Disney.
Black Widow out. It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
That is one of the worst ones.
It really is. Terrible movie. I saw it on Disney Plus. I haven't watched the TV shows.
Sure. Does that make it now harder to follow? Certainly does for me. Like, I miss a lot of the movies and I don't watch the TV shows. And I go to, like, a Spider-Man and I'm like, and what the fuck is going on in this movie? Yeah. Like, same with Doctor Strange. I was like, now do I am supposed to know who this, like, America Chavez is?
Yeah.
Or is that
a
new person?
No, I don't think you were in that movie.
Yeah. And Scarlet Witch, I'm like, what in the fuck is going on? Like,
yeah. I was the same way with Kang, who apparently was in the Loki.
Oh, is
TV
that so?
Show.
Yeah.
And, like, after the movie, I looked at Kate and I was like, Kang fucking sucks.
Well, they're probably getting a new Kang pretty soon.
Actually, entertainment news, everybody, from L.A. Brian, West Coast Brian, they have not discussed replacing Jonathan Majors as Kang.
No discussions.
No discussions. So
the words have not passed their lips over there at Disney.
Kang, one of the worst characters, and they just, it's so.
I mean, I do feel like it's funny that they're like, we're going to launch the next phase of this in Ant-Man with Kang, and everyone's like, Kang sucks.
Yeah,
like, they must
boring.
Be like, they're like, this is the worst reviewed one, and everybody hates it. It's like, didn't do well at the box office. They must be like, well, we better get fucking X-Men out pretty quick.
I know.
Well,
that's what's going to happen. I don't remember. I was talking to somebody who's like into comic books and stuff, and they were just like, they're just going to fucking panic and put out X-Men, and then the MCU can, like, sort of go away.
Yeah.
Because
that's what's
going to
be
the
funny end of this whole thing, is that, like, Marvel started – people forget this – that Marvel started with the also-ran characters. Like, this was, like Spider-Man, X-Men, and even Fantastic Four and Wolverine, they were kind of the popular characters. Iron Man, Captain America, like, the Hulk, were kind of shitty characters that no one wanted to do. And that's why Marvel even had the rights to them to make any of these movies.
Yeah.
And so now here, way at the end of this entire route, they made so much money with these that they're going to get back the rights to X-Men, and we're going to be in a world where they don't make Captain America movies because they're boring, they don't make Iron Man because people don't like him anymore, and we make a lot of X-Men movies.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really excited for, because, yes, some of the Marvel movies have gone woke, obviously, to the conservatives, but not all of them yet. They haven't turned on, well, they've turned on Disney, but I think a lot of them don't know that Marvel is. I don't think they understand. Like, they're the same people who fucking were like, I poured all the Bud Light out in my refrigerator and now they're down $5 billion. And it's like, no, that's not. But I can see they're going to get mad at some point too. And that's a whole part of the audience that just goes away. Although I don't know if they ever really go away. Like, I think they're all still watching football, right?
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think, you know, I mean, I was surprised that Bud Light went down in stock. I'm like, that's a lot of Bud Light people poured out, I guess. Yeah. Like, what the fuck happened? Like,
well, I think it is, in the end, not going to affect anything.
Yeah.
You know? Like, well, just like everything else. That's what makes it so hard to be, like, a guy that, like, says everything's going to be okay, because it's like, I don't fucking think it is. I don't know what's going on. I mean, maybe some communist guy wins the next election and then says, Disney, you have to start making movies out of stuff that doesn't already exist. And you got to break it up. We need some communist guy takes over. You got to finish the Crank story, because that's the one they haven't done. Like, what's that all about?
Crank. You mean Crank and Crank High Voltage?
Yeah, Crank is an example to me of the world before Marvel and why it was better. Crank, the Crank duology, as they call it. They do. You can buy a DVD set where you, not now, but they used to have the Crank duology DVD set. And that is one of the most perfect fucking action movies.
And I remember that they also like pick up right where the last one left off.
Yeah.
So you can really watch, that's like a 3 hour long, just high octane. I love the Crank.
3 hours.
It is surprising. It is surprising that Crank hasn't come back.
I know. It's 3 hours. Two movies less than 3 hours to watch. I think the first Crank is an hour and 20 minutes.
Probably less than one funeral
in
Wakanda Forever.
Yeah, the whole Crank story has been told in less time than one funeral in Wakanda Forever, which is, it's great. Like, that was just the symbol, and I thought John Wick hitting was going to be like, okay, so like people love this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll just make more of those. And then they made one, Hotel Artemis. Do you guys remember that?
I don't know.
Hotel.
Isn't there also like Nobody, like the Bob Odenkirk one too?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Didn't have enough action.
I didn't see that one actually.
I like Bob Odenkirk and stuff. Hotel Artemis, I think is what it's called.
I don't know it.
And I'll read you the thing, and then we'll get out of here. It's got a 57% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 35% score.
I kind of like a 57. A 57's a good percentage.
I mean, 57
percentage.
Might mean it's good.
I know.
In a way, because everything is like 98 and it sucks. Yeah.
57 sounds interesting, at least.
Did you know that the first Ted has a very high score, but Ted 2 is like a 47?
What happened?
They decided to just turn it into a Family Guy thing on the second one, because they tell the story, and I don't know if people that are listening to this know that Ted is about a lonely boy getting a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ted 2, they couldn't tell that story. So it was just like, what if Ted wanted to turn into what if we strip Ted's personhood away? And it's a story about gay marriage. They strip his personhood away.
Sounds important.
And he gets divorced.
My lord.
Or they turn it. It's not great. Hotel. So here's Hotel Artemis is a movie. It has Jeff Goldblum, Batista, as a rioting rocks Los Angeles in the year 2028.
All right. I don't mind that. Yeah.
Might happen. I don't know. Disgruntled thieves make their way to Hotel Artemis, a 13-story, members-only hospital for criminals. It's
operating good.
There's no action in this movie, I promise you.
Oh, it's like a medical drama or something?
Well, there's action, but it's like, you know, guys are going up the elevator door opens, and then a guy just machine guns all of them. That's the action scene. But it's a members-only hospital for criminals. It's operated by the nurse, a no-nonsense high-tech healer who already has her hands full with a French assassin, an arms dealer, and an injured cop. As the violence of the night continues, the nurse must decide whether to break her own rules and confront what she's worked so hard to avoid. And this movie has Jodie Foster as the nurse.
Okay.
Sterling K. Brown as Waikiki. Some people. Jeff Goldblum as Niagara. Brian Tyree Henry as Honolulu. And
So kind of places we're going with. We're going with tourist destinations.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Yes. Sophia Boutella as Nice. Dave Bautista as Everest. So, like, it's this movie that Father John Misty is P22.
Is P22?
Father John Misty is in it.
After the mountain lion?
Yeah, P-22 is his name. Charlie Day is Acapulco.
So they're all named after tourist destinations, except for the one guy is named after the famous mountain lion.
Well,
I think I gotta watch it.
Yeah, don't watch. You'll watch it and you'll be like, "Why did you?" But like, because
I'm gonna
watch it
and I'm gonna judge you on whether or not I like it.
I've said that's why I don't like going to movies with people. I don't like going to movies with my wife sometimes. Like, if she doesn't like it, then I'm gonna look like a real fucking idiot. I remember I saw The Batman without her because I was like, "There's no fucking way." There's no world in which she would like The Batman. There's actually, like, no world where most people should like The Batman, but I liked it. I ended up liking it. Just too long. Too long.
Three episodes is what it felt like. Three episodes.
And you know what ended up being better? Before we go, you know what ended up actually being better is Peacemaker, the TV show. Now, that ended up being good. John Cena's good.
So you watch the DC TV shows, but not the Marvel TV shows?
I can't watch
but
like
Peacemaker's
Teen
a
Titans.
DC.
I know, but it's an 8-episode kind of fancy boy show.
Okay.
Compared to like Teen Titans, which is like
who can watch any of that? And all the Arrowverse, there's like 120 hours of all these shows.
I started the Arrowverse, though. I think I've seen the
first
15 episodes.
I did try at once. I like tried.
I remember you talking about
it. I was trying
watching.
And I was like, it doesn't really, it's not that good.
I don't think I can watch these shows for teens.
Yeah.
Like the fucking Archie movie. I can't watch
Riverdale
Archie.
Or whatever.
I can't watch the Archie TV show. And I just, none of that stuff works for me. Like, as soon as I find out it's for teens, like, if I turn a show on and most of the people in it are teenagers, I'm like, let's just watch Columbo. When he's 57 years old. It makes me feel comfortable to see a 57-year-old. I don't know. Never watch. I was actually talking about this yesterday. My daughter is really cheap. Like, we're talking like, I'm cheap as fuck. But she, actually, I'm not cheap anymore. People are going to call me out because of my outfit I bought here on Sunday when they said, I can't believe I spent $325 on a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. If you were like,
wow, hype beast.
I did. I am a hype beast. I'm actually probably going to leave here and go to a place called Brain Damage and buy a bucket hat. And I'm going to just start wearing a bucket
hat. Don't they do screenings there? I think they do. Okay.
Yeah, somebody said that's what all the cool LA people are getting, their bucket hats. So
okay, great.
I think I'm going to get a bucket hat. But so my kids is like super fucking cheap. So what she'll do is, if she wants to go to something, so Boy Genius and Lana Del Rey are playing in Maryland in like July or October or something like that. And she goes, hey, do you guys want to go see Boy Genius and Lana Del Rey? Not with her friends, with her parents. And the reason she goes with her parents is we'll fucking pay for everything. We'll pay for the gas. We'll pay for the food. We'll pay for the tickets. But I'm a 43-year-old man, and I don't want to be rocking out. 44, actually. I just flubbed my age. I don't want to be rocking out the Boy Genius. I don't. It's a weird. It would be such a
weird.
You need
Man Genius at this point.
Thank you.
You need Man
Thank
Genius.
You. Something like that. Or, like, could Metallica play the show or Pantera? Maybe we get, like, a Pantera set.
They should pair opening acts, like, sort of for the parents.
Thank you.
Know? That's
like
what
Shrek.
They should do. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In a way, like how Shrek is for both adults.
More bands should be like Shrek, really, is what they should be.
Well, her birthday is October 9th. Her 19th birthday is October 9th. But here in Palm Springs in Indio, California, they're doing a festival called the Power Trip Festival. And me and Chris Wade from Chapo really want to go together because he did the Classic Rock Guys episode with me. Mm-hmm. And it's like Metallica, Guns N' Roses, AC/DC. It's just all those bands that are like, I can't believe, you know. First of all, there are people that talk about those bands all day.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me. I found this YouTuber.
Aren't there like there's a whole thing of people wanting Metallica to play the Super Bowl or something like
that? That is so funny to me. That's the funniest shit in the fucking world is when they announced Josiah Hughes, who has been on both guys and been on here, pointed that out to me. He said, you should look up Metallica and Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Around the Super Bowl. And it is overwhelming on Twitter. People are like, you know, Rihanna's pregnant. You could have Metallica come on. We fucking rock. It's like Metallica's never playing the suit. They could. Actually, they
are. I mean, there was a time. that they could have, but maybe that time has passed.
They are the size of band, because there's like a certain size of band you got to be. They are the size of band that could do
it. I don't know
it.
If they have the crossover appeal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're the size, but the demographics aren't quite there.
Yeah. I mean, if they played like Enter Sandman and nothing else matters.
I could see them showing up with an Enter Sandman during like a Snoop Dogg
That's a good
set
point. That's
or
a
something
good point.
Like
yeah.
that. But
I think people just don't. Like, the thing I learned doing a whole episode about classic rock guys is they just don't. They don't understand that rock is dead. Like, yeah. they just don't. They can't get it in their head that there aren't millions and billions of people out walking around the street saying Pink Floyd's the best band to ever live. Like, they will never understand that, like, when they see a teenager wearing a fucking Alice Cooper t-shirt, they don't like Alice Cooper. Yeah. They like the t-shirt.
Yeah. They like the aesthetic of something old and dead that no one cares about. That's funny to them. It's funny to them to wear something like that.
Same thing when people yell at me about my hat. Like, when I streamed the other day, a guy on Twitter is like, are you watching the Dodgers beat the Mets? And I'm like, no. And as a matter of fact, I'm wearing a White Sox hat now. I actually switched hats into a White Sox hat, which people got real fired up on me when I got back on Labor Day weekend and got on the stream wearing a Cubs hat. And they were like, "Why are you a Cubs fan?" And I'm like, "No, I just left Chicago. I bought a fucking Cubs hat.
I'm a hats guy.
I
like
am.
Hats.
I love hats. Oh God, that's gonna be the episode that's gonna be like a little harder for
shorts, t-shirt.
Yeah,
hype beast guys.
1 year from now, I have made the promise now that 1 year from now, 1 year from the first episode of Guys, the episode will be Lego Guys, which I've said will never happen. But I'm going to do Lego guys, and I'm going to let them all have fun with me because I have spent too much money on Legos. I am now building a town. I don't know if people know this because I don't talk about it as much on the shows, but I have a city that has a boutique hotel, and then hooked onto that boutique hotel is a jazz club.
Wow.
But the Lego jazz
classy,
club,
very okay? classy.
And then I have Doctor Strange's Sanctum Sanctorum hooked up to the jazz club. It's next
if
door.
Only. Yeah. If only. What a place. What a place to live.
And when I get home next to the boutique hotel, the Daily Bugle will be there. So all kinds of stuff going on in my Lego town.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully they make more modular buildings because the next one I buy is going to have to be secondary market, $600. It's a diner, and I might need it because I'm building a town.
Well, they have to have somewhere to eat.
They're so expensive.
They have to have somewhere to eat in the town. Yeah. Where's Doctor Strange going to go out to?
Exactly. Exactly. And there's like three Doctor Stranges in this town. There's the Demon Strange or the Zombie Strange. And then there's, you know, Iron Man's there, which he wasn't even in Doctor Strange. And Wanda's there. So there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Wow. Where? Yeah. Yeah, that's the next Hollywood Brian is we need you.
I should be involved in the Lego movie. I really should. One guy got real mad at me at the end of Street Fight for doing Legos and said they're too expensive, it's a waste of money, and that I'm not even building my own things. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Sometimes I like to relax.
Why don't you build a fence or something like that? Why don't you go build a house?
Sometimes I
You're
like
not actually building Doctor Strange's Sanctum Sanctorum.
I do have Sanctum. I would show you the pictures, but I don't know if I've taken any. And when I scroll through my camera, it's either pictures of me and my wife or a wrestler's big fucking dick. Wrestler's big fucking dick out. Well, thanks for doing this show with
me, Jack.
Of course. It's always fun
for
to talk
me.
To you.
Yeah, good times.
And tell people where to find you.
I do the Struggle Session podcast at sesh.show, and I've also started doing a Substack, which is at www.jack.lol.
He does like more of like a Glenn Greenwald type of thing.
Yeah,
there.
I'm doing a Matt. I'm releasing some of the Twitter files
Fucking
over
Matt
there.
The
is what I'm doing.
Guy. He's the funniest guy in the world to me. He is.
Have you done Free Speech Guys?
I will. So a little peek behind the curtain, I guess, for the Patreon people. I'm doing History Guys with Matt Chrisman tomorrow, and that's by design. The first like 8 or 9 episodes were very far away from politics, so people didn't come to expect Free Speech Guys and Democrat Guys or whatever. Yeah. I'm not going to do that right now, but History Guys I think is enough of a stretch away, and they're psychos. So I will do free speech, guys, but Matt Taibbi makes me laugh because nobody likes him now. Like when Elon Musk unfollowed him, it made me feel so good inside. Just to be like, this guy fucking mortgaged all of his, like, he like put himself on the line for all of this bad, dumb stuff. And then fucking even the guy that he was sucking up to is like, fuck you, man.
I really do think we've seen so many people lose their minds, you know, over just living in the mentions too much. Like, if you're on that tab too much, like, that way truly leads madness, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you really do start to feel like that's the whole entire world, and then, like, start making a bunch of weird decisions based on what people are saying in the mentions tab, and you have to stay out of that tab as best as you can.
And when you look, I mean, even with me, like, I that's where I look, right? But, like, I think that, like, sometimes you have to let one go by, number one. And number two, you're right. There are tons of people on Twitter who are just sort of like, that's who they talk to. And, like, I was talking about, I've talked about this a few times. Like, my wife doesn't go on at all.
Yeah.
She's not, like, a poster or anything. So I talk to a normal person all the time. And same with Gwen. Gwen posts on TikTok or whatever, on a secret TikTok that nobody knows about, and then tells us about it, which is like, what kind of a kid sets up a secret thing and then doesn't tell her friends but tells her parents?
Someone wants to go to the Lana Del Rey concert
with her parents. Well, we're not doing that. I'm sorry. If we go to a concert, it's Power Trip, because weirdly enough, she's also really into AC/DC, which doesn't make any fucking sense. And as well, she loves Highway to Hell. And I'm like, all right, man, well, go for it. Well, that was fun. Jack also wrote Eat the Rich.
I Kill the Rich. I wrote a book called Kill the Rich. Sorry. Go to killtherichbook.com. It comes out in September. You can pre-order a signed copy by me and my co-author, Kate Shapiro. It's a fiction book, and it's not an annoying Twitter politics polemic. It's a fictional political satire thriller book that is actually good.
And
so you should buy it and read it.
And in order to help Jack out, if you buy it and mail it to me, I'll sign it.
Wow.
It to you too.
Wow. That's three signatures. So, yeah. Go today. Killtherichbook.com. You can get three whole signatures on it.
Yeah. That's kind of something I do now for people. I just sign things. I did sign signed Chapo's book once, which was the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me. Guy was just like, can you sign this? And I said, no. And then he said, your name's in it. And I'm like, well, I know. He's like, well, go ahead and sign it. And I was like, fucking fine. And I signed his book. I was so embarrassed to sign another person's book. But I will sign Jack's book because I like him too much.
And your name doesn't even appear in it. So that really is an extra kindness.
It is. It has nothing to do with me. But with my name on it, maybe somebody will be like, oh, wow, that's that podcaster.
That's the most collector's edition one there is if you get the one signed by Brian. But, yes, thanks for having me. It was good to talk to you again. And enjoy the rest of L.A. I love the Dodgers hat. It's good to see you out here, L.A. Brian.
And I will talk to Jack off mic and two. So that is fun. Goodbye,
Very
everybody.
Very exciting. Stuff you guys can't hear.
Yeah, this is fucking exclusive content.